second case this morning is number 04389, Raymond Ferrone versus Medina County Board of Revision. Mr. Ferrone.
Should I just come up here?
Yes.
Good morning. May it please the court, my name is Raymond L. Ferrone. I'm the appellant in this case. The state legislature has amended several sections of the Ohio Revised Code to comply with this court's holdings in Park Investment, Koblenz-Goldberg, and other cases. However, the taxing authorities continue to deny me and other taxpayers our statutory and constitutional rights and protections by ignoring the court's holdings, the state's constitution and statutes. There are several questions of law at issue in this case, which I tried to address in my brief. However, because I was not afforded an opportunity to respond to the appellee's BTA brief, and the appellees failed to file a brief with this court, I was denied the opportunity to narrow and sharpen my arguments to this court. My complaint is that the taxable values listed on the tax list, it's not a market value complaint. Pursuant to section 5715.19 of the revised code, the property owner may complain of the determination of the total valuation or assessments that appear on the tax list. My complaint addresses the county auditor's unstatutory methods used in calculating the taxable value of my land based on its nature or use instead of its value. My complaint challenges the auditor's failure to follow statute, which results in an incorrect amount of gross tax and tax liability. His failure to follow statute denies me and other taxpayers the correct amount of tax reductions under sections 5713.23, 319.301, 319.302 of the revised code. I'd be glad to answer any questions from the court at this time and use the remainder of my time after the court's questions.
Help me to understand how what the auditor is doing affects your tax. I do understand this, you know, the distinction between using 50% of the rate on the full value or 50% of the value times the full rate. I see that. My all appearances, that gets you to the same place, but I also understand you feel that somehow affects the total taxes you're paying. I want to understand
right,
that latter piece there. How is it affecting the bottom line?
The bottom line is that there's a substantial difference in the taxes that have taxes owed or the tax liability by not following the law. What he's doing is that he's valuing the property based on its use. That's we'll deal with the forestry because that's probably the easiest to understand. He takes a 50% of the value of the forest land when he determines the taxable value of the property, and that's what he lists on the tax list. By doing that, he reduces the amount of taxable value. In other words, the taxable value is not determined the same as all the rest of the as the court said it should be in Park Investment and Koblenz and Goldberg, that is a certain percentage of the actual value. He's determining it in a different method. By doing that, when you apply the tax rate, you come up with a gross tax that is lower than you would by following the law and not valuing the forestry at 50%. By getting a lower gross tax, you then reduce the amount of reduction under 319.301. Which is a percentage of the gross tax, so you have a lower percentage and you get a lower reduction, and also subsequently 319.302, which is 10% of that of the value under 319.301 of the reduction. I'm sorry. So right there, you get less than the correct amount of reductions under those two. Now. In my my brief, I showed you, would be my exhibit 4, I believe. I showed how this would work if they did it to the elderly and disabled under 3, to 3.152, I believe, A. If you did the same thing to them, they would get it, just as a forestry, they would get less of a tax break. Because if you reduce the value, you reduce the amount of gross tax, then you reduce the amount of reductions under those two sections that I cited. So that's the most obvious that they're doing. Now, we need to, in order to determine the amount of the reduction under forestry, you need to determine what is the value of the forestry. What they're doing there is they're using what they call a site value. The only place that you can use a site value on non-CAUV land, that's current agricultural use land, is under 323.152. And it specifically states there that you cannot use that in determining the taxable value that's listed on the tax list. It goes against what the court decided in Park Investment Koblenz and Goldberg, where all property, whether commercial, residential, or agriculture, has to use the same uniform rules. So they're using different rules for a residential property with some acreage, more acreage, by using a home site value. Now, the home site value can be used to determine how much a person would get in a reduction under 323.152B, that is the 2.5% reduction for residential property, but it cannot be used to determine the taxable value of the land. And I cited, I showed how the county in one of my exhibits, and then I talked about it at the hearing, where they'll take a vacant piece of land and divide the total value over the acreage. In other words, if it was $100,000 and it was 10 acres, it would be $10,000 per acre. But they don't, and if that was a forestry property, that would be $10,000 per forest acre. But if there's a resident on it, they either they're shifting the value or they are replacing the actual value with this home site value, which I say is not supported in law. I haven't found it anywhere in the law. And if you look at all the arguments they have, they don't bring up any law to support what they're doing. As a matter of fact, they say that they know that they're not doing the way the law says. Their argument is that their computers can't do it the way the law requires. They're saying it would take two tax bills. My argument is it's exactly the same formula that's used to determine the elderly and disabled under 323.152A, and all they have to do is put it under the tax reductions and exemptions under the column for determining the tax. It's done exactly the same way under 323.152A. They're taking a percent of the value times the full tax rate. Under 5713.23, the forestry, you're taking a percent of the tax rate times the full value. It comes out the same. It's where it's applied, it's different. So what you're doing is you're treating the forestry people differently. You're denying us equal protection of 319.301 and 319.302. You're denying us equal protection as far as, determining our taxable value, which this court made it perfectly clear in Park Investment, Koblenz and Goldberg, how it's supposed to be done. In Goldberg, it was sent back down to the Board of Tax Appeals, and they said, well, a piece of property that's commercial should be compared only to property is commercial, and a piece of residential property should be compared only to a piece of residential property. And the court let them know in no uncertain terms, no, that's wrong. All property, whether commercial, residential, or vacant, are subject to the same uniform rules. The only exception is land that is enrolled in CAUV, where they can value the land based on its use. And hopefully, I've explained enough of this in my brief. I was looking under the consequences of not filing a brief, which they didn't do, and it said there if my brief was was clear, then you would just go on my brief. But I'm an amateur. So I'm a little bit afraid that what is clear to me may not be clear to this court. That's why if you have any questions or any statute that you want to go over, I didn't have an opportunity to do any of this with them because they never brought up anything. So if there's any question that the court has where they might think that I'm wrong anywhere, please let me know and let me answer the question.
Is the procedure being used for your forest land the same that's being used for all forest land in the
that
county?
It appears to be that way. There's 232 forest properties in Medina County, and there's 4,967 throughout the state. There's not very many of us. And rather than change their computers to follow the law, they just, violate our rights. You know, who are we? We're nobody.
It's certainly not your obligation to know this, but I'm curious whether there are any counties that do it the way you're suggesting it ought to be done. Do you know that?
This is the revised code, and on it, there was one case that I brought up earlier before I had a lot of this information, but it says right there, under 3, it's under 5713.23, and this is the annotated version. It says the method of calculating the reduction. A method of calculating the forestry reduction used statewide by county auditors and approved by the Division of Tax Equalization, which does not strictly adhere to the language in RC 5713.23, must be reviewed by the tax commissioner, and if the tax laws of the state are being improperly administered, is within the purview of the tax commissioner to order compliance, and that's my case for Rome. Now, if you look at what the BTA did, they never addressed any of my arguments, or they said it's a constitutional question. They did say that they thought I should have gone to the tax commissioner, which I have done quite a bit, but the section they cite is for the tax commissioner, action by the tax commissioner in behalf of the state, not in behalf of the individual. 5715.19 is in behalf of the individual, which I filed this complaint under. My complaint was the only complaint but they allowed the auditor to come up with like a market value complaint, which, you know, I only prepared for the complaint I filed. There was no other complaint filed. There was another point I want to make on what the BTA did. All right, so then the BTA, they do the same thing every time. They come up with what the taxable value should be. Okay, well then put it on the tax list because that's the next part of 5717.03, where it tells them that the parties like the tax commissioner or the auditor has to change their tax list to comply. So once you would put whatever value they came up with on the tax list, then it's different than what the auditor says it is. So then he would have to redo the tax list to comply with the board. And over the years, they mentioned where I've been over. Well, sure, they've always come up with the tax value, but they've never put it on the tax list. That's why I said that part of my complaint was based on 319.35, which is where the auditors to correct the tax list. And the reason for that is I cite another section there where when the board comes up with a decision, that decision then is sent to the auditor who has to change the tax list. Well, no matter what decision the board made, the tax list should have been changed. They say they're going by what they have on their property card. And the problem is you have your property card, but by the time it hits the tax list, he's used that 50% reduction, which means that he hasn't followed the law. And the law's pretty clear. One of the statutes that had to be changed was 5715.01, where they specifically want you to, it tells you how to come up with the taxable value and put it in, and it prohibits the tax commissioner from using any other method of coming up with a taxable value. Then you go to 5713.01, where it tells you that when he takes the market value, he's supposed to take the taxable value and list that on the tax list. It continually talks about the tax list. I don't think anybody understands or wants to understand what the law is. You complain of the value that's on the tax list. You don't complain of whatever he has on his property card. That changes from day to day. It can change from day to day. You are taxed on the value that's on the tax list. That's what the that's the value that the local tax rate is applied to. It's not applied to the property card. It's applied to what's on that tax list. There, that's what my complaint was, that the value that's on the tax list was illegally determined and therefore affected all these other reductions. Any more questions?
No, thank you.
You get the idea. I hope my brief is clear enough. That's otherwise I would have just waived this oral argument because I don't know how to write a brief. I wrote it so that I hope anybody can understand. Anybody that knows anything about the law, that has a respect for what this court has said in the past.
Very well. Thank you, Mr. Perron.
Thank you. That's tough.